As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
It started off with 16, now it's down to 4, and there's one Canadian team left in the Western Conference Final. It's going to be Edmonton against Dallas. That will start on Wednesday, and then coming up tomorrow night, it's game one of the Eastern Conference Final between Carolina and the Florida Panthers. The defending Stanley Cup champions are back in with the Final Four. Welcome to Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We'll talk about that. We'll talk Leafs. We'll talk the Winnipeg Jets. We'll preview both the series. Also, Rachel Dorey will join us. We'll go into some more detail about the Leafs and what they may do, what they'll have to do, I think, in this offseason. And we'll go 77 seconds in with the Dorey, Rachel as well. Okay, so when we last did this, I said to you that I'll save the postmortem on the Maple Leafs for what happens after game 6, and they survived game 6. And I said, okay, well, let's just save it then until after game 7. And they did not survive game 7. So lots to unpack. And again, we have 4 teams left. We have 2 series remaining to decide the champion in the NHL. This, again, is a major, major, major story. The script continues to be written the same way, Vic. Lots to unpack. I'll throw it to you to start.
Well, I mean, I don't think we have to take any super deep dive on what happened in game 7.
No.
Anybody who watched it knew pretty much from the get-go, it looked like a carbon copy of game 5.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mean game 5. They played game right? 5 twice. They played game 5 twice. Yeah.
And I can't recall, I've been talking to a lot of different people about this. Mm-hmm. I can't recall, you and I have both been covering this game for very, very long. I'm in my 18th season at ESPN. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I cannot recall a team pooing the bed so badly in one game in a series, bouncing back so well, like the Leafs did in game 6, and really impressed the pants off of all of us, and then flip again and put in the same crap performance they put in game 5. I can't remember. Do you remember this ever happening before?
No.
Usually you seize the momentum from a great performance like they put in game 6. Again, we don't have to get into all the individual goals.
No.
There's no effort on behalf of the Leafs. They called themselves, most of them were passengers that night. They're not strong on pucks, didn't utilize their speed, not hard in the corner, just nothing. They got not getting in the greasy areas in front of the net, nothing went right.
You knew that the fact that they survived the first 10, 12 minutes with it being still scoreless was incredible, because the Panthers came out with a team, the Panthers came out as a team of men. The Leafs came out as a team of boys.
They got absolutely
spanked. They got spanked again, like they did in game 5 and like they did in game 7 last night. Kelly Rudy, who I really love, Kelly, we loved when he played hockey and love what he does as one of the analysts on Hockey Night in Canada. And he said that for what happened in the 2 of the last 3 games, games 5 and 7, something's very, very wrong with what happened in games 5 and game 7. And you're right. We don't need to go into detail about it. It was a shellacking, and they're now done. So once again, we start. I want to just quickly say about the whole passenger thing that Auston Matthews said after that. He said, yeah, the mindset going in was good. We all felt confident. And then we survived the first 20. And then in the second, all heck broke loose and everyone became passengers. Well, look, if you're the captain and you're the captain of this airline named Toronto Maple Leafs, then you need to get passengers all on board. You need to get them on board and on the same page as you. If you felt that, And to be honest, look, I think he played okay, but there were times he was a passenger as well. Though that said a lot to me about the way the Leafs' mindset changed going into that second frame, or even, heck, even after the first 5 minutes of that first period.
They were 21-0 in shot attempts.
It was insane.
That is ridiculous. Here's my other thing, last thing on the passenger bit here. And I agree with everything you just said. But I'm not just going to lay it on the captain. I'm not going to just lay it on Austin Matthews.
Yes.
If you're playing at this level and you have to get yourself up for game seven in the Stanley Cup Finals, what are you doing there?
You got a problem. You
have a big problem.
Yeah,
and the crowd was really behind them on this one from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Less so in game five, but I mean, there were no excuses. You just came out, you just came off a very convincing victory. Something does have to change. Okay. So two 6-1 losses in two of the last three games, 12 different scores for the Florida Panthers, Ryan.
Yeah. And give, you know what?
Neither of them named Barkov or Tkachuk.
Right. Let's just be quick. Let's give Florida a ton of credit. They're showing you again how great this team is, how well built, and how good do those signings, do those trades for Seth Jones and Brad Marchand, who gave up, a bag of pucks or something to get him from Boston. I mean, it's just incredible what they do every single year. Anyway, yes, go ahead. You were going to throw to me with something. I assume what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I mean, this offseason. So, I mean, I don't think we need to have some great big debate about core four are not going to stay together. The core four isn't going to stay together.
No, they're done.
I don't know particularly which piece. You've got Mitch Marner is a UFA.
He's done. He's gone. Like, he's good. Let's just say it right now. He's gone. He is not. He's played his last game as a member of the Maple Leafs.
I agree with you. I mean, we don't know for sure, but it certainly looks like he's leaning in that direction.
Yeah.
John Tavares?
He'd come back, and if he does come back, he'd have to do it on a big-time discount. And then conversation would have to be something like this. First of all, as well, I do not believe that the Leafs should go forward with Brendan Shanahan either. I think his time is done. The Shanahan plan...
expiring contract as well, yes.
...has been a disaster. So I think that's a... Keith Pelley, member, first kind of full... So he's now in here, and I think that you got to give Tree Living full autonomy. Got to give him all the direction that he can. The cap is going up. Each team gets another $7.5 million. Going into 25-26, you've got a bunch of different players that you should sign. But I really do feel that if the conversation for Tavares to come back, it'll be something to look, John, you had a great regular season. Again, everybody crapped the bed in the first two rounds once again. We're trying to still build something here. We need this like now. We needed this 10 years ago when you came or whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to stay in Toronto, totally get it. But you're going to have to take this much less. So we can use whatever less you take and add 2-3 different pieces if we're able to with other transactions. That's the only way. And it's up to Tavares. He wants to come back to try to win a cup with Toronto, which I firmly believe that he does. He's going to have to take a major cut.
He said so. Well, they're not going to pay him $11 million, but nobody's going to pay him $11 million. All right. So what are you going to pay him then? Six?
3 years, $18 million.
Okay. So we just said the same thing.
3 and 6.
Yep. He's 30. He's 34.
Yep. Yep.
Six and a half. So they're going to save money because that's $11 million coming off the books. Now you're going to pay him six.
Yep.
I can digest that.
Yep.
Now you're going to save the 13 and a half. You're not going to pay Mitch Marner.
Right.
But then
right.
you have to go and find somebody.
You do.
Who's at that level.
Yep.
But can perform in the playoffs. That's a really big ask, Ryan.
Go after Sam Bennett.
I like that idea too.
Yeah.
Go after a winner.
Go after a winner, right? And he's public enemy number two in Toronto. Public enemy number one is Brad Marchand. Heck, go after Brad Marchand. Do it, whatever it
Can
takes.
Can you just imagine?
I know. But look, he was the best player on the ice last night. He was the best on the ice last night. I saw this quote, and this sums up Toronto for me. First of all, also, they're going to give Matthew Nyes the contract, and he deserves the contract. He's the X factor of the team. I said going into the series, didn't work out, but he's the X factor of that team, I think. This quote I saw yesterday, and this sums up Toronto. You can have great ingredients, but you can't cook with an oven that doesn't ignite.
That is very good.
You think about that. Got all these pieces, throw them all in, but if there's no fire, there's no burn. And that's what we saw the last couple of games with Toronto. That's what we've seen for years, Vic. So
the lack of passion certainly seems to be
lack
there.
Lack of passion, yeah.
Let's wrap. Austin Matthews, William Nylander, they stay, right? There's no big blockbuster moves done because they're under contract for years.
Yeah,
still four left or whatever.
So no, they stay. You know what? And I would try, as I may be in the minority, I would try to get rid of Cali Yarncroke. I would not. I would do everything I can to trade Brandon Carlo. I also wouldn't.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I would dangle Max Domi. I'm just saying.
He's $3 million bucks, though, Ryan. Like, how are you going to get a player like Max Domi for $3 million?
I'm just saying. Like,
I don't know. He's value.
Everyone should be on the table. That's my point. But you know, Matthews is not going anywhere. Nylander is not going anywhere either. Riley has a few more years left of that contract as well. So of that core four, Marner, I believe, gone. Tavares will only come back, and the Leafs will offer him a significant less chunk of change. And if he says yes, then I think he will return.
Do they try to trade Riley? You brought him up.
It's not a bad idea.
3 years left, $7.5 million.
Yeah, there's a lot of term left on that, and there's some money as well. I know the cap's going up, but his game decreased this season, and obviously Brandon Tanev was there and he took a lot of minutes, and McCabe and Oliver Ekman-Larsson, he signed on board too. So again, I would dangle it. The bottom line is this: the core four, core five, however many guys you want to put in it, it's going to be significantly different next season.
It's going to be interesting to watch.
It is.
It's going to be a very interesting offseason. All right.
It is. That's a wrap on Toronto. Yeah, that's a wrap. Okay. That's a wrap on Toronto.
I'm angry again. I was angry last night. I was angry again this morning. I calmed down a bit. Now I'm angry again.
It's all part of the therapeutic process. I won't charge for the last 12 minutes. I promise.
Thanks, Ryan.
So Winnipeg Jets, first of all, our thoughts. I know that we probably expressed this in different ways to Mark Scheifele and his family. Lost his dad tragically, just unbelievable on Friday night. And then he goes out and plays hockey. Scored a goal, and then took a penalty. Rest is history. Dallas winning game seven, but hats off to him for him to do that. Absolutely remarkable. Winnipeg's done, Vic. Once again, the top team in the league over the course of 82 games is out.
It's really a tale of two games for me, too, because even though it was different circumstances for Winnipeg, not game seven, first of all, but the fight they put up in getting knocked out of the postseason, because they could have won that game.
They could have won that game.
Whereas you knew 5 minutes in watching Toronto last night, you knew that they weren't going to win that game.
Right.
There's no fight whatsoever. So I would rest easier right now. And I understand expectations are high. You're the best team in the league. You're supposed to go all the way. Mm-hmm. But I would feel better as a Jets fan this morning than I would as a Leafs fan, because at least they went down swinging. And I know that the story was all about Mark Scheifele that night. I don't think the tripping penalty he took at the end, I think it was a little necessary, right?
Of course.
And like Lowry said after the game, we really wanted to get the kill for him. Mm-hmm. And we didn't. Mm-hmm. It is a team effort. You do have to count on your teammates to get that key penalty kill so you can continue playing that game. So, I mean, there were so many different stories in this. I liked the fight that the Jets put up. Hellebuck was crazy good in that game. Yeah. I know his road record. We've made a big thing about that, deservedly so, but he was very good in that game. But at the same time, just the story about Mark Scheifele coming out, laying it all out there. I don't even know how you can do that. Everybody's different.
Everyone's different.
I would have been able. I think I'd be in bed, honestly.
Yeah.
But other people battle through things differently. He made his decision to play, gave in a gutsy performance. He was great on the ice. And it was, I think everybody outside of a diehard Stars fan were rooting for the Jets that night. Maybe not game seven, but that particular night, it would have been nice to see them clinch that one and then go ahead and play a pivotal game seven to see what happens.
Give credit to Dallas. They're a very good team. And that series between Dallas and Edmonton, we'll get into that in a second. That's going to be a very good one. I hope it goes seven, because two very good teams will go at it toe-to-toe, and I think it's going to be a great one. The series also came down. You mentioned Hellebuck and not being able to win on the road, not just in St. Louis, but also in Dallas. Mm-hmm. The Jets weren't able just to win as a team in St. Louis on the road. And I think they weren't able to get the job done on the road in Dallas either. I said to you as well, going into the second round series, when you said, is Hellebuck okay? Well, we'll see what happens in games three and four when they get
on
the road.
What a bizarre situation, though. Do you have an answer for that?
No, I
mean, they were a good road team all year. It's not like they stunk.
Yeah, they were a good road team. The one thing I did, there were some stats about it, and the amount of goals that they scored were almost equivalent to what they did at home. So the goals for during the season were pretty much equivalent. The goals against... there was about a minus 52 or plus 52 differential. So the amount of goals they gave up on the road, even during the season, was a lot more than at home. I don't know. To me, when you're that good and when you're that good of a goalie in Hellebuck, you just wonder why why they weren't able to. Because if they did, if they won these, they'd be off to round three without hesitation. Again, give credit to Dallas. But if they just had another couple of road wins, we'd be talking about them against Edmonton.
Yeah. But we're not.
It's unfortunate. Nope.
We're talking about the Oilers and Dallas. Yep. What do you see in this series?
Again, it's I'll just give the quick edges. Number one, of course, Edmonton, they'll have the edge up front with McDavid and Draisaitl every time you go into any series they do. However, with what Rantanen's been doing in round one, especially round two, I mean, you just never know, the guy can go off, which he's been doing. I do believe Dallas has the edge in goal. Mm-hmm. There is still the discussion. Can Stu Skinner play certainly a lot better in the last few games with Calvin Pickard out? Calvin Pickard expected to be back. Mm-hmm. Matthias Ekholm expected to be back at some
point.
That's
huge.
Yeah, it's massive. So they're getting reinforcements. The biggest thing about this is who has the belief more. And this is what the Leafs can learn. The Leafs can learn from these two teams about they believe in themselves. I'll tell you one, my X factor for Dallas, Matt Duchene, not been playing very well.
Been very quiet.
No.
Very quiet.
Like if they want to get, Edmonton's going to be tough. He needs to get going. And the X factor for Edmonton, and we've seen it, I'm not going to go with Evander Kane, Corey Perry. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before. The guy just loves the big stage. And I look at this as probably going seven. I really do. I'll give you my pick in a second. Where do you stand?
Do you want my pick right now or just in general?
Just in general.
I think, okay, so in general, I think I'm going, Dallas just has a slight edge outside of the net because they do have the edge in the crease as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Outside of the net, it's the depth scoring for me.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
why the Oilers have been successful so far and they're still standing, as much credit as we always have to give to Draisaitl and McDavid,
mm-hmm.
they're doing what they did last postseason when they went all the way through to game seven of the Stanley Cup final, and they're getting depth.
Do you know when in the first two rounds, so against LA and against Vegas, that now the total is up to 17-9 that Edmonton's outscored either Vegas or the Kings in 5-on-5 situations without 97 and 29 on the ice.
That's a key stat for
almost 50%.
And that's what they have to continue to do because, you know, mm-hmm. the opposition is going to be zoned in on those two.
Yeah.
So you have to have the rest of the team, at which they have done, again, why they're still standing.
Yeah.
They need to do the same thing again. If they can do that, this is going to match up very closely. I'll give mine. I see this going seven.
Mm-hmm.
I do have Dallas. It's just because of that little extra edge in secondary scoring and the edge in net. Ottinger has been fantastic this postseason.
He has been, yeah.
So we're gonna, I think that's...
We're going to agree. I have Dallas in seven as well. I've, you know what? And it's again, when we talked last time on the show, I gave credit to Edmonton where credit was due, and I've not been giving them as much credit. Didn't give them much against LA and didn't give them much against Vegas. So, yes, they're a very good hockey team. I just think, again, to your point about the depth and about this and this and this, the goaltending, especially when it comes to Dallas, I just think they have.
But coin flip for me a little
bit more.
I could have went. I thought about this one a lot, and I looked at all the elements on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you pick a series in game seven, that is almost, it could go either way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Oilers are right there for me, but just if we have to make a pick, and we do.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Then I'm going to take Dallas.
And if it goes to game seven, definitely Dallas will win because Pete DeBoer is 9-0 in game seven.
Right. I forgot about that.
That's the X factor. If it gets to game seven, forget it, Edmonton.
That's bananas. That's a banana stat. Yeah, very impressive.
That's crazy. Okay. Last one. Again, before Rachel Dory comes on, we'll dive back into the Leafs and go 77 seconds in with Rachel as well. Carolina Hurricanes, they've been waiting in the wings. They've been
about them.
Right? Huh? They've been looking in the eye of the storm, Vic, as to who they're going to face. They're going to face either Florida or Toronto. And, of course, last night the Panthers stamped their ticket to round number three. That game's set to go Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, game one. 8 p.m., actually. Let's try it again. I'll get it right. 7-8 Mountain Time.
You said it's one in the afternoon. I'm like, woohoo!
Yeah, no, it's like when we did with Brian Ray. We thought he wasn't Central.
Yes.
We thought this, so I'm all over the place. Anyway, you handicap this one. I've got my thoughts on it, too, between these two teams.
Well, initially, right out of the gates, game one, I favor Carolina.
Sure.
It feels like they've been off for 2 weeks.
And is it because of the rest?
I think the rest is going to be a big factor immediately.
Sure.
Because the lack of rest too. They're not even pushing this game for Florida to Wednesday. This mm-hmm. is like a very, very quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. So game one, and just how stingy they have been this mm-hmm. postseason, how well Freddie has played. They've yeah. scored just enough. I mean, what was it? 7 goals in 5 games for the Capitals.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
a team with Alex Ovechkin and Strome yep. and Tom Wilson and people who can definitely put the puck in the net. So I think right out of the gates, Carolina's going to have the edge again because of rest. They've been able to just relax and whatever's been, you know, bruised and bumped mm-hmm. up and feeling lousy. They've had more, you know, more ice cold baths and time to kind of recover a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so game one, I'm giving the edge to Carolina. I was going to call them the Carolina Panthers, which is a football
hey,
team.
That's okay. You know what? It's a good tie-in. Hey, let's get to the series between the Carolina Panthers.
I'm going to do that more than once. I'm going to guarantee you that. So, yeah, game one, but not necessarily the series.
I will go with you as well. So there's two things with rest. Either rest will be good for you going forward, or rest is not so good because you want to keep up the momentum. But if you look at what I agree. If you look at what Carolina's done in the first round, they advanced quickly. In the second round, they advanced quickly. And after first round to the second, with the rest, a little bit of time, there was no issue whatsoever. This team, again, quietly goes about their business like it's no business at all. I'm a huge, huge fan of what Andrei Svechnikov is doing over mm-hmm. the course of this postseason. Sean Walker's been great on the back end. You heard the praise that Spencer Carberry gave everybody on the Canes. Seth mm-hmm. Jarvis, I mean, every single person on that team, Rod Brind'Amour. I do believe that this will come down to a quote-unquote healthy Frederik Andersen. The numbers, Vic, 7-2, 1.36 goals against, and a .937 save percentage in 9 games.
Outstanding.
When he is healthy, and you and I have been hoping and been wanting him to be healthy, he's been just dogged with injuries. Knock on wood, I'm not putting this out there, but knock on wood,
we don't have that kind of power.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Hold on. I think I just threw out my shoulder. No. But the point is that, yeah, you can say Carolina's playing great in front of them, and they play within the system. But then, again, the Panthers have they're the defending champions. And so I don't know I think the fact that they're going tomorrow, Panthers won 7 games with Toronto, but let's face it, in games 5 and 7, did they really work a whole bunch? Well, they did a bit to get the lead, and then they didn't really have to. So this to me is a coin flip, to be honest. Who do you have?
Florida in six. I know everything I just yep. said about Carolina.
No.
I'm going with the winners. They're just yeah. winning. And yeah. They were supposed to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And in the games that they were dominant against the Maple Leafs,
yeah.
and that's a very good Maple Leafs team, whatever yeah. we want to talk about lack of passion, when they are playing Florida hockey,
mm-hmm.
boy, oh boy, oh boy,
yeah.
Florida in six.
I'm going to go, my picks have been terrible, by the way. They've been...
I don't think any of us have really shone brightly this postseason.
But it is, I only got one of the last four, right? So it's just, I don't even look at where I'm putting, I just throw in my pick and then press send. That's the end of that. So I have the Panthers in seven. I have this one going 7 as well. And then Panthers and Dallas in that Stanley Cup final. Regardless of what two teams end up out of these four in that Cup final, I think it's going to be a pretty good one in the final too.
It's going to be a good one.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Rachel Dorey will join us, and we'll go back into the Stanley Cup playoffs, kind of get her thoughts on the two series left to go before they fight for Lord Stanley, the two of them. And dive into the Maple Leafs with her if she can handle that. Sorry, if Victoria can handle that again. Because I
gotta
just
do
had
it
her,
again.
I had her calm down a bit.
Talk,
now she's getting.
We have to talk about them again?
Yeah, now the Apple Watch is. Oh, heart rate, pulse. Rachel's next. Maybe with Victoria. Who knows? We'll see.
Might take a break.
We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
They started with 16, now down to 4. The East final set, the West final set. Then it's down to 2 to see who's going to hoist Lord Stanley's mug. Going to be a fun Eastern and Western Conference final. One gets underway tomorrow. The West will get underway on Wednesday. Welcome back, Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Madiash, joined by Rachel Dorey, a Betalytics, also of Puck Social Podcast and regular contributor for ESPN. Rachel, great of you to give us your time today. How are you?
I'm doing well, all things considered. It's lovely weather outside.
Right.
Significantly better.
What are you talking about, all things considered?
Well, you see, if the team that I like, you know what? I went into Sunday night saying they're going to lose, and if they win, I'll probably cry tears of joy, because the last time I picked the Leafs in the conference final, I was like 6 years old.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, I expected them to lose. But
right.
The thing is I expected them to participate and show up. You know, you lose 3-2, I'm going to be disappointed. But like, hey, Florida's a very good team. You got smacked up and down home ice 2 games in a row. That's not cool. I'm not on side with that.
That's what's like, I know losing game seven, then Vickin can jump in. I know losing game seven last night was dreadful, but to do it 2 of the last 3 games, I said to Vic, I joke, didn't they play game five twice? I think they played game five twice, didn't they?
I just don't ever recall seeing something like this. And we talked about this earlier in the show, that they laid such an egg in game five.
Yeah.
Rebounded so well when I didn't anticipate they would, and played such a great game six, and then returned to the disaster of game five, and again just spit out another carbon copy of a very pee poor effort. Do you ever remember seeing something like that?
Well, considering that it's the first time in NHL history that a team has lost by 5 or more goals on home ice in a game seven. No,
I guess
I have
that.
Not. Now, I was sitting there and I was watching the game with my dad and my fiance, and my fiance is a Rangers fan. Somewhat tortured, but there's like recent conference finals and Stanley Cup finals appearances.
Right.
So I'm like, you're not allowed to speak. Right. Like, don't talk to me. So he was pretty good about being supportive. But I was talking to my dad about it, and I said to him, I go, like, they wouldn't have beaten the San Jose Sharks with this effort. Never mind the Florida Panthers. Like, you're lucky if you beat an AHL team with that kind of performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at that and I go, there are too many people, too many individuals, because it's really difficult to call them a team. It's like a collection of individuals right now.
Mm-hmm.
Put perfectly.
It's really difficult to sit here as someone who's been in a front office and been on a coaching staff and kind of prides herself on analyzing the game and say, something's not wrong with the mix. We're talking about 3 head coaches, 3 GMs. One president, fine. But at some point, like, I don't know, maybe it's not the coach or the GM.
Right.
Like, yeah. No, you know what? And that's what we said, too. I mean, Brendan Shanahan, the Shanahan plan has been a disaster. So that needs to change. He needs to go. At least that's what I think. And back to your point about them being a group of individuals, not a team. And I said this to Vic in the first segment. This quote sums up Toronto for me is, you can have great ingredients, but you can't cook with an oven that doesn't ignite. And that's what we saw in games 5 and 7. And even for the last number of years, it's the same thing. So let me throw this at you then. This offseason, like all the other ones, there's going to be some changes. This one is really significant. Tavares is now off the books. Marner is now off the books. They need to sign Matthew Nyes. They're going to sign him. Where do you start with this? And how aggressive, forget about, do you think Toronto will be, but how aggressive does Toronto need to be this offseason?
Okay, so the first priority, and I mean like today priority, needs to be signing Matthew Nyes.
Yeah,
nothing
agreed.
Else.
No agree.
Like, yeah, that is the guy. Not only, first of all, I heard Wendell Clark with my own ears say that there is something really special there. And I've also heard, I play a lot of golf, and I happen to play at a golf course where a lot of like former Toronto Maple Leafs and other NHLers play. And the one thing I've heard a lot of, which kind of gives me some solace, is Matthew Nyes seems to remind a lot of people of the late 90s, early 2000s Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. And I think the best comparison somebody made was he reminds them of Gary Roberts.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, well, you know what? He needs to stay simply for that.
Right. That's a good comparable.
He brings a level of oomph that is missing from the lineup. They had it somewhat with Zach Hyman. Matthew Nyes is younger, is better at a younger age, is bigger, is more durable. So that's got to be priority one. If I were the Toronto Maple Leafs, who as an organization, I'm kind of at the, maybe not as like management, but certainly from a lot of the players, especially the stars, with the exception of Morgan Riley and John Tavares, I think it's fair to say that they treat their fans with disrespect. They take them for granted. And so if I were the Toronto Maple Leafs and I wanted to get back in the good graces of the fan base, I would step to the podium at exit day, if I were Brad Tree Living, and say, the Toronto Maple Leafs have decided they will not be extending an offer to Mitch Marner. We thank him for his service, XYZ, do all of that, but just make it known to the fan base that you see the same things and that you care about the team just as much as they do. And then what I think you really need to do to your question about being aggressive, don't be over-aggressive. Don't be stupid. The biggest mistakes get made on July 1st every single year. Be Brian judicious about it. And for the absolute love of God, stop handing out trade protection to people like Yanni Hakanpää and David Kampf and Kali Yarncroc. Like, is any of that necessary?
No.
Like, don't do it. Stop doing it.
I know your love for limited and unlimited no trade clauses. I read your socials. You just said that they need to come to the podium and say, we're done. See you later, Mitch, in a couple days' time from now.
Yeah.
Does that happen?
Not a chance. Okay. Not an at right. Zero.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if it did. Yeah.
I can almost guarantee you they're going to say, yeah, our priority, we want to re-sign Mitch. And the whole fan base is going to be like, I'm going to light your house on fire. Right. Like, don't do that. Priority one, Matthew Nyes. Mm-hmm. Priority two, if you can get, and I feel this way, and I know that other people in the fan base don't feel this way. If John Tavares is willing to sign for $5.5 or less million to
be
your third
six
line
earlier.
Center.
Yeah, we said three years, 18 mil. That's what we said.
And to me, solid, because at the end of the day, with the cap going up the way it is, that would be the equivalent of a $3.5 or $4 million contract.
Sure.
Okay. Are we going to sit here and say that John Tavares isn't a better hockey player than Yanni Gourde? No one is going to say that. Mm-hmm. And if they are, like, don't listen to them.
No. Right.
Right. So if John Tavares wants to come back and be a third line center and capably fill in the second line role in the regular season at $5.5-6 million, I am totally on board with that, because he is William Nylander's kind of different because he performs in the playoffs, but John Tavares is the only one that actually comes out and says, I want to be here. I love being a Maple Leaf. Like, there's a level of accountability with him. There's a level of, you can tell the guy genuinely cares about being a Toronto Maple Leaf, being from here, and it isn't about the money for him. He took $2 million less to play in Toronto the first go around. We can have a discussion and litigate whether 11 was a good idea or not, but the bottom line was San Jose offered him 13. So it's not like he didn't take a haircut. And so I would say Matthew Nyes, you have the discussion with John Tavares. Your goaltending is solid. Your blue line, everyone's kind of signed. I'd like to see a puck mover come in, quite honestly. I don't think they have enough guys who can move the puck. If you look at the four teams in the conference final, they finished top 10 in at least one puck moving category on their blue line, and the Leafs did not. I think that's a massive issue. I would take a run at Aaron Ekblad, quite honestly.
I was going to ask Mitch Marner, who you have your eye on.
Interesting.
That's an interesting one. Okay,
so
why?
Two guys with Mitch Marner's salary, but three guys, actually, depending. Because if he wants $15 million like it's rumored, like, please go get that somewhere else.
Yeah, steal.
There's three guys I want the Leafs to go after. Aaron Ekblad, Matt Duchene, and Brad Marchand. First of all three of them proven playoff performers. And if you sign Brad Marchand, who grew up a Leafs fan, you eliminate the possibility that he screws you over in the playoffs. So there is that part of it. I keep hearing Sam Bennett, and I got to be honest with you, I think he's just going to end up re-signing in Florida with the tax break and all of this for whatever he does. And even then, like, if he were to sign in Toronto, it'd be $9 million. And that's way too much for Sam Bennett. Like, I'm sorry, but that's not a thing. Matthew Nye's $9 million. Come on down. That's fine. But like, to me, I look at that. I like Matt Duchene. I like Aaron Ekblad a lot. I think a pairing of Morgan Riley, Aaron Ekblad would be a lot more palatable. Then you have Jake McCabe and Chris Tanev. That gives you a bona fide top four. I think that would be solid. And then you can run whoever you kind of want to run on the bottom pair, whether it's Benoit and Ekman Larson and whoever else you want to manage.
Flexibility,
exactly. But Duchesne has been excellent very quietly in Dallas. And he's a center. I still think he can capably play second line center. I mean, heck, he's playing second line center on the conference finals right now, probably the cup favorites. So that's kind of, those are the three guys I would probably target.
Just imagine Brad Marchand signs in Toronto and that bookends his career. And he's been a thorn in the Leafs side for however many years. And then finally he helps them get to, I'm not going to say the promised land, but get to that point that nobody else. Yeah, that would just be an incredible story.
I'm going to his sister's wedding this summer, and I'm going to have to just like poke him and be like, so.
Do it.
We need to talk.
Do it.
And also, I'm going to say to him, like, did you actually open your mouth and say that at the podium after game seven, that they take too much crap? You've been paying attention, Brad. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm. That'd be something. He'd be he was the best player, at least in my mind, on the ice last night for the Florida Panthers.
Seth Jones,
Seth Jones, amazing. And there you go. The management. Seth Jones getting him and getting Brad Marchand. I mean, it's ridiculous what the Panthers have done. Speaking of that, let's quickly talk about the Panthers Hurricanes. Vic and I have been joking. Carolina's just quietly gone about their business. All they're doing is winning games, and they're winning series, and they're winning them handily. Now they're going to go up against a tough team in Washington. They're going to go up a really tough team now in Florida. Handicap the series again with game one going tomorrow night.
Yeah, Seth Jarvis kind of said it best, right? Carolina does play a boring style of hockey that nobody seems to like, but at the end of the day, it's very effective. And if the Toronto Maple Leafs were playing it or the Montreal Canadiens were playing it, we'd be lauding them for it. While it might not be all that fun to watch, it's very effective. And I think there are 28 other teams that wish their team played like the Canes right now, because that would mean they're playing towards the end of May. And I know I certainly would appreciate that.
Right.
So I look at this. They both have very solid blue lines. I think the star power, I thought Austin Matthews did a great job of nullifying the Barkov line. Mm-hmm. I'm not so certain that that's going to be the case against Carolina. I think that that's probably going to be a little bit more of an issue. Carolina is a pretty deep team, so I don't think that Florida's depth is going to have the impact that it did in the Toronto series. Whereas I think at the top of the lineup, yes, you have Aho and Jarvis and two of probably the most underrated players in the league, but not Barkov and Reinhardt.
Sure.
And
right.
Matthew Tkachuk didn't score a single goal in the Toronto series. Do we think that's going to continue against Carolina? Like, I don't think so. And so I with Bobrovsky playing the way he is, I think it's probably Florida in six.
Okay.
But I don't see like a 4 or 5 game series unless Carolina gets completely nullified, which I mean, it could happen if they keep them to the outside and Bobrovsky continues playing. But I think Carolina's a little different. They got guys like Taylor Hall who can get to the middle of the ice now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a little bit more effective. Logan Stankoven's been out incredible for them.
Amazing.
And he's going to be a great long-term piece. So I think it's going to be a good series. The Dallas-Edmonton series is going to be incredible. I cannot wait.
All right. Well, then let's just move right into that one. But you have Florida in six. I have Florida in six I think, Ryan, you had Florida in six too, didn't you?
I have Florida in seven. I have them in seven. But I have the Panthers. Yeah, Panthers money.
I'll take a game seven. I love game seven.
Right? I mean, who doesn't? Yeah. I was going to say, who doesn't accept Toronto? Anyway, carry on.
Game sevens are a lot more fun when you don't have a horse in the race.
Right.
I really enjoy them when I'm sitting back with the popcorn and the pop and it doesn't, I don't care. Then they're really fun.
Yeah.
Involved, it feels a little bit different.
Colorado Dallas game seven was cinema.
Right.
Absolute cinema.
Super.
It was incredible.
Super.
10 out of 10.
Because it didn't matter to me. Colorado or Dallas, it's great. It doesn't matter. So it's pure entertainment. You're not invested. It's a little bit of a different watch. But let's move on to Dallas and Oilers then. How does this one look to you?
Oh man. Okay. Yeah. So if Stuart Skinner pulls his games 1-3 Stuart Skinner, this is going to be a very short series.
Yeah, it'll be over in three. It'll be over in three.
Yeah, it's going to somehow end in three.
Yeah.
Right? If he manages to be moderately usable, mm-hmm. and then excellent in games 4-7. I think this series probably goes 7, regardless of how well any goaltender plays for the Oilers. Jake Ottinger is better.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a problem. But when you look at Dallas, Miro Heiskanen's getting up to speed. Thomas Harley, probably the most underrated defenseman in the entire NHL.
That's a great story, isn't it? Remember the whole Four Nations thing, and now he's scoring big. It's just such an awesome story.
I love Thomas Harley, that dating back to when he played for the Mississauga Steelheads.
Okay.
I remember there was a trade that Toronto Maple Leafs wanted to make a few years ago before Thomas Harley got to the NHL, and they asked for Thomas Harley, and Jim Neal basically told them to, like, pound salt. And he was correct. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, you got Rantanen, you got, like, the Finnish five, whatever you want to call them, plus Thomas Harley, plus Jake Ottinger, plus Robertson, like, Duchesne, Ben, like, there's all of that. And yeah, they're very good. They're certainly deeper, but the Oilers' depth has actually been very good in the playoffs. Yep. And heaven forbid that McDavid and Draisaitl get on the 2-point pace that they average in the conference and Stanley Cup finals, because that's a problem. So I do think this is going to be an incredible series. It's going to come down to whether or not they can shut McDavid and Draisaitl down, because I think the depth, if the Edmonton depth keeps playing the way that it is, I think the depth kind of evens out. Right. Wyatt Johnson's a little bit better than Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Right.
And whatever the case may be. But I don't think anyone's going to sit and make the argument that anyone on the Dallas Stars is better than Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl.
No.
Sure.
And so I do think that this is going to be an interesting series from that perspective. Not having Matthias Hekholm is a problem. The sooner they get him back, the better off they are. If he's back for game 3, I think this is going to be a pretty tight series. I do think that it favors the Dallas Stars a little bit, though, just because of the goaltending. Like, you can't.
Yeah, we said that, too.
I'm sorry. You can't trust Stuart Skinner. Like, you just can't.
Hey, you know what? And you, the first time you've been on the show with me, I said back when, Vic, in January, February, something like that. I've been saying for months, and I was in the minority. I got booed. But I said that at that time, even when Edmonton was healthy, I would trust Calvin Pickard in game 1 against whoever they were playing in the first round than Stuart Skinner. So I've been on the Pickard band wagon and off the Skinner one. I just think there's so much discussion and it's not positive when it comes to Stuart Skinner, unfortunately.
He was good the last two, though.
I know.
What they need is Calvin Pickard plays games 1-3. Right. Stuart Skinner plays games 4-7. That's what they need. Like, unfortunately.
Hey, whatever works, right?
No one's asking how. Like, if you win a Stanley Cup,
that's right.
No one is going to remember what strategy you deployed in the conference final.
No.
I can tell you, if the Leafs would have won last night, even making a conference final, I would not have been able to tell you about Mitch Marner's turnover in game 5 because I would have forgotten and I would not have cared.
Yeah.
But alas, now I can tell you every little thing he did in the series.
Right.
That's how it works. Fairly or not, that's how it works. All right, this has been. We're gonna move on to 77 seconds. Do you know, Ryan? It's just quick fire.
I did. I kind of worded it to her in a way that, hey, this is what we're gonna do, and then I said something like, "Send me your email address so I can send you the link." Before she responded to, "No, I'm not gonna do the 77 seconds." So.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I didn't do that on purpose. Come on. Anyway, this is.
I love this stuff.
Okay, here we go. So again, go ahead, Vic. You can start. 7 questions, 77 seconds. There's no timer. Off we go.
Your pick for the Calder.
Lane Hudson.
Okay.
Love it. I'm on board too. Who do you think the Ducks select first overall?
The Ducks or the Isles?
The Isles select first overall.
It has to be Matthew Schaefer. It's not allowed to be anybody else.
Defender?
Has to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it has to be. Yeah.
Let's stick with the draft for a second. Your most intriguing projected first round pick.
Ivan Ryabkin. I think he could go anywhere from 20 to like 55.
Really?
It's that crazy. Yeah.
Interesting.
He's incredibly difficult to project by model and by eyeball.
What would you change about the game? A rule, different literature in the CBA, something like that.
How long do you have? I would go to the 3-2-1 point system. Mm-hmm. I would implement a luxury tax on the salary cap. And my biggest one right now is if you're suspended for PEDs in the regular season, you're ineligible for the playoffs that year.
Yeah.
It just makes so much sense to me.
It does.
And then Aaron Ekblad would not have
killed Brandon Hagel. Yeah.
Right.
We forgot about that one.
Right.
That seems like it was a couple of weeks ago now, but it seems like forever ago. Playoffs are just a different animal. You have the opportunity to GM any team right now, challenge-wise, in the NHL. Which one would you want to sink your teeth into?
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
I was going to say, yeah.
I would do, I would take the Toronto Maple Leafs, or I would take the New York Islanders. I'm really intrigued with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
They have the best cap person in the entire league in Steve Pellegrini. He's the man who wrote the original salary cap in 2004, which is kind of helpful because he knows where all the bodies are buried and all the loopholes are. So,
right.
Yeah, and they've got some pieces. And so, yeah, I would probably take the Islanders because I think it would be fun.
Interesting.
Easy question to articulate. Maybe tough answer. We don't know. We'll find out. Who wins the cup?
The winner of the Dallas-Edmonton series.
Oh, that's a smart answer. Very smart answer. Very smart answer. Yep. Okay.
Last one. You're a Cowboys fan, right? Am I right?
I am not a Cowboys fan. I was born the day they won the Super Bowl, so by proxy, kind of happened.
It's in your blood.
Last one. How far do they go this year?
They don't make the playoffs.
Okay. I love that.
That is, yeah, I was actually, had I been male, I probably would have been named Troy.
Oh, really?
Really?
And my uncle calls me Troy because he is a Cowboys fan.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
I get all Troy. Yes. He has called me Troy for all 29 years of my life.
Has he really?
Yeah.
And do you have a good relationship with him?
Yeah. We have the same birthday. So I feel like this is kind of where it came from. He's like,
that's
horrible.
Yeah.
You're Troy. And I was like, all right.
Oh, I love it.
What am I going to say to that? So, yeah. And for what it's worth, I think Marner ends up in Chicago or Nashville.
Chicago. Really? I have Pittsburgh in my mind.
Really?
The Dubas connection.
So I think the other two distinct possibilities are Pittsburgh and Seattle.
Seattle.
That's far
interesting.
Away from Toronto.
Very
to
thin
away.
At right wing.
Yes.
To get away from here. I just wonder about Chicago because there's so much they need to do. And he's not 22, right?
I think here's the thing is like I've had Carolina suggested to me and I've said if he refused to trade to Carolina, that would have allowed the Leafs to get Rantanen and then walks to Carolina. Mm-hmm. People are literally going to pelt him with tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Like
no,
he's
they will.
Never going to be allowed in Toronto again. It's going to be Larry Murphy on steroids. like it's not a thing. Right.
Right.
Chicago, I could see because they have Bedard. They're probably about to have Michael Mesa or James Haggins.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows he's going to be playing with a top end center. And their young decor, I think not enough people are paying attention to. Their young decor is about yay close to being a real big problem in the National Hockey League.
That's
with everybody that they have. Yeah.
All right.
The Blackhawks have some really solid back end players. They've got a solid goaltender. I don't think they're that far away. I think they're probably 2 years away from being a threat.
That's really great news for Chicago fans. We'll do a last one. Novik said the last one was the Cowboys one. We talked just before we came on about the your connection to the rocket behind me. So share that with us.
Yeah. So my stepfather is a Richard. And that was a pretty cool fun fact. I was in first year university when my mother started dating him and hey, I'm Matt Richard. And I was like, like that Richard? And he looked at me and he just kind of smiled. He goes, yeah, that Richard.
Very
and
cool.
I was like, wow. I want to say he's like his third cousin twice removed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's not like immediate bloodline, but it's also like when there is a Richard like family reunion, he goes. And cool. When Mr. Béliveau passed away, he went to the funeral. Mm,
that's
and
amazing.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that is very cool. What's interesting is, like, he is of the belief that, like, you cheer for the team that of the city you grew up in. So he loosely, like, supports the Leafs. But he's not afraid to, like, jab in there and be like, haha, Montreal does it better. And it's right. Like, yeah, because they have, like, a zillion cups.
Right.
But it's super cool. And his nephew, so I guess, like, my cousin, is playing hockey. He's like, I think he's 12, and he wears number 9. So it's really,
oh, that's amazing.
It's really cool.
Oh, wow.
You know how, like, in minor hockey, you battle? It's like, I want this number. I want this
yeah,
number.
Yeah, and it's yeah.
Like, I want number 9, and also I'm a Richard. So I win.
Yep. Case closed. That's it.
We're done. Yeah.
That is so neat. Wow.
It's pretty cool. When I was in Montreal for the draft with the Canucks, like,
mm-hmm.
It was interesting because I would see, like, some of the ambassadors that the Habs had walking around, and I had met a few of them because of my stepdad. And they all recognized me, and it was funny because, like, all of my colleagues at the Canucks were like, how do you
know? Yeah. People?
And it's like, yeah. Well,
here's my story.
Yeah. My stepdad shares the name, and now my mom is changing her name. So yeah, I guess that not by blood, but I guess I'm kind of in that realm.
Sure are.
I don't know,
you absolutely
cool.
are.
Sure are.
Royalty. Oh, that's awesome. I thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I'm glad we did that. Look, we can go on and on. We're out of time. Would love to do this again with you. This has been so much fun. You're awesome. And keep up, doing what you're doing. And thanks again for dropping by.
Thanks so much, Rachel. Great stuff.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'll come back anytime. This was fun.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.